The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Thank you, everyone here, for practicing with me this morning. I'm speaking to you from the New Paltz Zen Center. And, you know, I have such gratitude that I can be here and practice with Joan Hoshi and his dog, which is sitting right on the hishiki, and also simultaneously be here with all of you. And it's really just beautiful and amazing how far the reach of Village Zendo is. And the fact that this year of online practice has been such a wonderful reminder that there's no boundaries to the Dharma or Sangha or practice, except for the boundaries that we might arbitrarily put on it. And, you know, this past month, as we've slowly opened our physical doors at the Village Zendo, I've been feeling a lot of anticipation and excitement as we've continued to adapt practice at the Village Zendo to now adapt to both online and in-person practice. And it's not so different from the feeling that I had in March of last year as we were trying to adapt from physical in-person practice to online practice. And honestly, prior to that, I wouldn't have imagined it possible to sit Zazen or even Sesshin online. But here we are now, a thriving community, practicing with each other from so many points around the country and around the world. And amazingly, on a Monday, I can ride my bike to the Zendo and sit with our small and dedicated morning group. On a Tuesday, I can sit at the foot of my bed, practicing online with Sangha members in California, Florida, a couple neighborhoods away in Brooklyn. And on Saturday, I can visit our Sangha in Bolivia. And physical or remote, we're all just here practicing the way together. And for this summer ongo, as we commit to intensifying our practice together, we'll have the chance to sit Sesshin together in person after more than a year and a half since our last Sesshin. And then we'll also continue our online practice in a week-long retreat of sitting and art workshops. And I really look forward to practicing with you all during one or both. This community has been such a rock for me. You know, for the last year, which, you know, has been for many of us very, very tumultuous. I've certainly had points where I felt that online practice was very challenging. But I find often that these challenges are just another gateway to rediscovering and refreshing my practice. And isn't it such a gift to be reminded that we don't need to rely on some sacred space in Soho to practice the way? You know, practice and our lives, it's just right here. You know, as we stare at our computer screens or our tablets or our phones, whatever you're using. And our Zen practice is as simple as getting up after this and fixing breakfast, paying bills, doting on our loved ones, and also arguing with our loved ones. There are times, though, you know, where my Zen practice can feel very far away. Times where it can feel very inaccessible. And I can so easily get stuck in this idealized view of practice as a separate existence from now. Getting caught up in this alluring trap that practice only happens at the Village Zendo, or it only happens on retreat, or only happens on the meditation cushion. that there is a separate place, a separate kind of being or doing that is our Zen practice. That some other state of being is realization. And it's an easy trap to get stuck in. And feeling far away from the physical Zendo and not having sat in person for almost 2 years, it's been so easy for me to get stuck in those notions. Lots of periods of feeling stuck. But that begs the question that I have to ask myself. How can I feel far away from practice when practice is just my life as I am, as we are right now? And isn't that the wonderful gift of Zen? It's that gift that our teachers are constantly trying to hand to us. The reminder that we already have everything that we need. It's all already available to us. And that's kind of the fun irony of Zen. Sometimes we have to sit many, many, many hours of Zazen just to realize we didn't even have to go anywhere in the first place. To wake up from this dream, but also realize what dream was there to even wake up from. And this reminds me of the story where Nansen points to a flower in the garden. It's case 40 in the Blue Cliff Record, and it's titled, "Nonsense, It's Like a Dream." So, as the officer Rico was talking with Nansen, he said, "Master of the teachings Chao said, 'Heaven, earth, and I have the same root. Myriad things and I are one body.' This is quite marvelous." And Nansen replies by pointing to a flower in the garden. He called to the officer and said, "People these days see this flower as a dream." So in this story, the officer Rico had studied with Nansen for quite a long time. And he seemed to be a very dedicated and eager student and immersed himself in the text, the discourses of Chao. And he comes across this line in his studies, and naturally he's pretty excited, exclaiming, "This is quite marvelous," as he shares it with his teacher. And it is such a beautiful line. "Heaven, earth, and I have the same root. Myriad things and I are one body." And I can certainly relate to Rico's excitement of having read a piece of literature that really resonates with me. And I remember when I first started studying Zen, I'd copy down all these quotes so that I can reference them later. And they're all still on my iPhone, and I love to just scroll through them every now and then. And, you know, all my Dharma books are like dog-eared and have like all these annotations. Yeah. And these texts can be very inspiring, enormously skillful, can't they? You know, they can remind us of our essential nature when we forget. They can point us in the right direction when we might feel lost. But in practice, though, it's still not the whole picture, is it? Reading a book about meditation is no substitute for simply sitting meditation. Reading about how marvelous it is that myriad things and I are one body is no substitute for simply experiencing the sound of the birds right outside. We can be pointed in the right direction, but we must walk the path. one step in front of the other. Each step alone is the path. All the Dharma books in the world can't compare to simply sitting down and experiencing our essential nature, our Buddha nature, for ourselves. In this story, I appreciate Nansen's response to Riko, and he does it in that kind of cheeky way that Zen teachers love to do in these stories, challenging the student to investigate further, breaking them out of where they might be stuck. And he neither denies nor confirms this piece of text that Riko is so moved by. Doesn't dive into philosophical discussion, just simply points to a flower in the garden and says, "People these days see this flower as a dream." It's such an amazingly simple and subtle response, a very gentle kind of pointing for Riko. People these days see this flower as a dream. A few days ago, I was really surprised and delighted when I saw Mukon had shared a photo on our group's IO listserv. And it was of an art project where someone had used yarn to write words on a chain link fence. And in the photo, what was written was, "Remember, you are dreaming." And I thought it was quite fortuitous that he'd send that right before my talk. But you know, it all makes me curious. What is this dream that Nansen speaks of? You know, if you're familiar with these metaphorical devices and these koans, you might think delusion. It seems like a good answer. Riko stuck in a dream, stuck in his ideas of Zen, clinging to a piece of text. Wake up! But I have to wonder though, you know, can we look around us right now and say whether we're in a dream or not in a dream? By what benchmark can we gauge if we're dreaming or not dreaming? When we sit zazen and our mind is on our breath, is that a dream or is that not a dream? When we're immersed in work, doing dishes, is that a dream or not dream? At any moment, can we say whether we're thoroughly deluded, a little deluded, a little enlightened, a lot enlightened? And if we were to gaze on a flower, what dream is that? My first instinct when presented with this koan is the urge to fix. If I am dreaming, then I must wake up. If I feel far away from practice, if I feel stuck, then I must fix my understanding. Working towards a time in the future when I'll finally awaken, when I'll finally be realized and have figured out Zen, and then everything's going to be all good. But there is an aspect of self-aggression with that approach, isn't there? We're not good enough as we are. And we've been very successfully conditioned to that response, haven't we? To fix ourselves. It's that self-help capitalism approach. Buying that book that gives you 10 easy steps to finally attain X, Y, and Z. Buy a book and then you'll be a better person. You'll finally be happy. That idea that we're never quite good enough as we are. If only we work, get more and more and more, then we'll have it. And I certainly know from experience that it's so easy to get caught up in attaining grasping, accomplishing. If I only practice harder, if only my meditation was better, if only I understood all these koans, then I'll finally be realized. Then I can really start living my life. And when I'm going through a difficult time in my life, feeling challenged by practice, or feeling like practice is far away, my first instinct is to look around and say, I don't want to be in this dream anymore. Or say, well, when I'm finally enlightened, when I finally wake up from this dream, then everything will be easier. But to try to wake up from this dream is to wish for our experience to be different from what it is right now, in this moment. It's a little like running away from our current circumstance. An aversion to our current understanding, who we are right now. But what if instead we looked around and instead of trying to wake up, we simply acknowledge this dream? To acknowledge that our Zen practice, our lives, isn't anything other than what it is right now. And it can't happen at any other time or place than right now. Dreaming or not dreaming, looking at nonsense flower, and simply seeing the flower. Nothing to fix, nothing to attain, just a flower and our life as we're living it. I think that looking at it that way is a shift from an approach of self-aggression into a gentler, kinder approach. And it makes me appreciate this dream I'm in, whatever it is. Realizing this dream, it motivates me to become more intimate with it. Not to push it away or wish it was different, but to lean into whatever experience I'm having, even when it's difficult. Because how can our lives be any different than what it is? What need is there to wake up to wish for a different experience? Feeling deluded, a deluded dream. Feeling enlightened, an enlightened dream. Experiencing grief, a dream of grief. Ryutan Roshi once told me, and I'm paraphrasing here, so please forgive me. He said, "No one is closer or farther away from the Dharma than anyone else." And when he told me that at the time, I found it to be a completely unsatisfactory answer. But as I've chewed on it, you know, there's something deeply comforting about that. No one is farther or closer to the Dharma than anyone else. We're all exactly where we need to be right now. And we were all born to be in this exact moment of our lives. As we are. Dreaming or not dreaming, there's just whatever is right in front of us. Just this computer screen. Just my clammy anxiety while I try to give a good talk. There's no place to go, no other experience to have. And it's our Zazen, our Zen practice that helps us realize that. That we go on a long journey only to realize we're exactly where we started. But of course, that's not all, because there is always more work to do, more sitting to do, breakfast to make, injustice to fight, someone to pick up when they fall. Always more work to do, but we just take one step after another. And honestly, realizing the stream I'm in, I've come to enjoy it. I've come to enjoy getting to know what this is. And realizing the stream, what additional effort is needed to wake up. There's no need to move towards some other idealized view of practice or enlightenment. It's just simply noticing the flower in our garden, the smell of incense in our home, the sound of the birds outside. So, whatever your dream, or maybe you're not dreaming, maybe you're awake, that's cool too. I'd say simply live it fully. There's no other place to be.